point. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I'm going to speak this evening. I was given quite a long subject to speak about, but I want to shorten it to an interesting title. What I was told to talk about is the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. You know what that means? I don't know if you've ever eaten any citrus fruit that's not ripe. You take an orange that's still green, you bite into it. It actually gives you this kind of, as if electricity is all over your head, all right? That's what we mean when you say the teeth are set on edge. You know, your teeth become very sensitive. It's because of the acidity inside. So sour grapes are also like that. The idea is this: if I eat sour grapes, it's my teeth that should set, that should be on edge. That's the general concept. But in Hebrew times, that's in Bible times, you see the people believed something that what happens is that the fathers eat sour grapes and then the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah, because of time, we won't read much of it. If you go in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, if you read in verse 30, let me just read that one so that we'll see where we took that from. God was telling them that that will no longer be the problem. He was saying to them, I'll start from verse 28. He said, now it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days, that's verse 29 where I'm reading now, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. That is, he's not going to eat sour grapes, and then his children's teeth will be set on edge. So that's the context in which we took this from. You can also find the same thing discussed by Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 18. All right, so I want to summarize my own, the topic into a small title, which I have titled The Concept of Generational Curses. Did you hear what I said? Amen?
Amen.
All right. The concept of what? Generational curses. Now, that's a very important topic these days. And in fact, people have made a big deal about what they call deliverance ministries these days. In fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday. He said in his opinion, now please, like I told you, just, okay. Like I told you, all right, try and follow me. Even if you don't agree, just say amen, all right? Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the man said that in his opinion, that's one of the worst things that have happened to modern-day Christianity, the concept of this repeated deliverance, all right? And there's a reason why he said it, and I'm inclined to agree to some extent. I told him that there's a worst thing that happened to Christianity, and to me, the worst thing is the issue of money and silence, all things. You get my point? Anything you want, you sow a seed towards it. That is a fat lie, all right? Okay, now, there are principles in life. You don't just use money to buy everything from God. To me, that idea is worse than the deliverance one. Now, but I want to get down to the issue of this deliverance matter and the matter of generational curses. Is it true that when fathers eat grapes, the children's teeth are the ones that are set on edge? Now, there's a scripture I want to read to kind of introduce that. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, we'll read two of them. The first one is from the book of Exodus chapter 20. That was the Lord talking about himself. If you have your Bibles, quickly flip to the book of Exodus chapter 20. God was describing himself as a jealous God. And this is what he said about himself. In verse 4. He said, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, all right, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Please notice this. It said, I visit the iniquity of the fathers. That's where the Jews got this from. That is, the fathers disobey God, but the children suffer the consequences. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But please notice verse 6. And as Christians, you must bear these things in mind anytime you read the scriptures. Verse 6 says, even though I'm like that, but showing mercy, that's another thing about my characteristics, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Please notice that. I show mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. Quickly open also to the book of 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 5. Quickly go over there, please. Now, the story in Second Kings is the story which every person who went to Bible Sunday school as a child knows. The story of Naaman, the leper, a commander of the army of Syria. Now, you know the story of how Naaman was sent to Elisha, well, of course, through the king of Israel then, and then he was asked to heal him. And you know how the story went. I don't want to give details now. Let's not spend a lot of time repeating something that we all know very well. Now, what happened was that Naaman went to the Jordan as he was commanded. He dipped 7 times and then he became totally whole. And then he returned to the prophet to come and say thank you, and he brought a lot of gifts. And for many reasons which we are not discussing now, Elisha did not take them, but he told the man to go home. Now, but Gehazi did not like the idea at all. Gehazi was a servant of Elisha. He ran after Naaman, and he went and told a fat lie in the name of the prophet and collected money from Naaman. Now, when he got back home, let's just read that. Let's read from verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25. Now, when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Of course, we know that was a lie. Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" He said, "Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." Please let me read verse 27 again. He said, "As a consequence of these things that you have done, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you, Gehazi, and to your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. One more scripture I would love to read, but we'll get to it later. Mono, let's just quickly read it so that we can dispense of it and do our discussion freely. Romans chapter 4. This one is very important also. We add to the things we have read. Quickly, we're talking about the faith of Abraham and how to be a descendant of Abraham. He said in Romans chapter 4, in verse 16, he said, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now, what I want to bring here is this, that Abraham is the father of everyone that is of faith. That is, if you have faith, you are a descendant of Abraham. When you talk about the seed of Abraham, the seed of Abraham is not just his natural seed, but his spiritual seed. And let me tell you something about spiritual things. Spiritual seed is just as important. In fact, spiritual seed is more important than natural seed. You must understand that. That is, in fact, let me just tell you this to illustrate the point. A man once, he was a very successful businessman, and he died. Of course, his children were grown, and they were fighting over the inheritance. Now, all the while that the man was building his business, his business empire, he had a right-hand man. That is, a man who was like his, how do I describe him? Like his, more than a PA, more like a, like an assistant, a deputy to him in the office. He had been with him, they built a business for a long time together. Just like Eliezer of Damascus was to Abraham. Now, Isaac was the natural descendant of Abraham, but Eliezer of Damascus was his servant for a very long time. Now, so this servant, this the deputy to the rich man who had not passed on, said to the man's son who was fighting over inheritance and everything, he said that the real inheritance, I took it. You who are fighting over what does not really exist, that is, you are fighting over the company, you are fighting over money, you are fighting over material things. That's what you think is inheritance. But the real inheritance, I'm the one that collected it. What does that mean? I learned from your father how to do business. I learned from your father how to rise up and go about my business. I learned from your father the skills, all right, in the marketplace. I learned from your father discipline. I learned from your father how to build a great business. You, his children, are fighting over nonsense. You can fight over this company and take it. It's your problem. But I have taken the real inheritance. That is, if I live here, I will build what your father built. I don't need to fight anybody. The siblings were fighting amongst themselves for money. And the man was looking at all these foolish people. That you should have stayed with your father and collected the real thing. Just a joke to make you laugh. But it's also a matter of fact, I believe very strongly. How many of us know of Fela Nicola Kwokuti? Uh-huh. You know of him? If you've ever heard the name, say amen. Uh-huh. You know what he stood for, alright? You know what he stood for was a musician, but we didn't know him just for music. We knew him for his moral lifestyle and for his the amount of grass he used to consume, alright? That in smoking. We knew Fela for all of those things. And then Fela died. He had a lot of children. But two of his children, I look at them, I say, these people, they didn't collect the anointing of their father. They're Kuti. This is my opinion, you can disagree with it. I think that boy does not know how to sing. He just jumping all over the place. Then there's one small boy called Shionkuti. I said, these boys are trying. That if you want to see Fela's descendants, go and look for one young man called Dede Magbiaku. If you see Dede Magbiaku standing, Dede Magbiaku is from Delta State or Edo State. Fela was from Ogun State or so. But if you see Dede Magbiaku standing, he looks like Fela, he talks like Fela, he moves like Fela, he sings like Fela, and I've never heard him sing a song that's not Fela's song. So I told my wife then, I said, this is the real spiritual descendant of Fela. All these natural boys, they don't know what they're doing. This boy stayed with Fela, he moved with him, he drank of his spirit. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing, of course, who wants to be like Fela? I'm just that she illustrates the principle of spiritual descendants and natural descendants. Now, and in spiritual things, spiritual ancestry is more important than the natural one. I want to understand that thing. Now, please bear these things in mind. Now, when we're talking about generational curses, that's where I started all of this from. Are there things like generational curses? Now, there are two sides to this story. You must understand what is natural, and you must understand also what is spiritual, that is, what is available to you and I in Christ Jesus, all right? That is, our lives are not natural. They are not at all. I told you earlier that a friend of mine said that one of the greatest problems in this modern day Christianity is this problem with deliverance. There are people who pay deliverance preachers. They will follow them from Lagos to their village somewhere in Enugu around here, and they'll be doing deliverance. And it's not free. It's not cheap. You know that? It's not free. It's not cheap. You pay huge amounts of money, hundreds of thousands of naira. Why? Because they tell you that your great-grandfather was a Dibia, was a priest. Or like one man said that maybe your father was a slave trader. I heard that when somebody told me, and everyone was so excited, I couldn't believe I was hearing it. I'm sorry to say, I thought to myself, arrant nonsense. He said, maybe your father was a slave trader. And because of that, he used to break families. Are you getting my point? Now, that's the reason why you are having family problems. That's why your wife left you. And that's why if you're a young man, if you realize that your father broke other people's homes, you too, you have to go and be careful. Otherwise, your home is going to break. Because the father's edge sour grips and the children's teeth are going to be set on edge. And people analyze those things. And anytime I hear it, you see, I don't have enough time. I have just a few minutes to teach us this evening. So I'm going to stick on the issue of what we have in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? I'm going to stick on that issue. And simply put, the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things, including the sins of his father, they are passed away and they have become new. Anytime I hear that thing, it annoys me because it is not true that a Christian needs to go to his village and go and cast out some ancestral spirits from the tree in front of the father's house. That thing is a fat lie and it's only invented to put money in the pockets of people who don't know how better things to do with their time. I know what I'm saying. I said this on radio. People were angry with me. I've been preaching on radio for years then. I never said anything about it. And everybody was hailing me. Hey, Babaka, you know how to preach. The first day I said this thing, see anger. That I don't know what I'm saying. That the people need deliverance. Listen to me is a lie. It is a lie. And I'm going to tell you something here. There's one thing people don't understand. He said something here. I visit the iniquities of the fathers. People make a mistake there. They said that what is happening is that because the father sinned, the children are suffering. I told you something that does not work in Christ Jesus. But let's even come out to the general plane of spiritual things of this life. And you understand the principle there. He said from that death moved from Adam unto his descendants upon, that's Romans chapter 5, upon all that sinned. Listen to me. Death has effect when you continue the works of the father. Let me quickly tell you why I read the story of Gehazi. I said that ancestry has two sides. There's a natural side, there's a spiritual side. Alright? Who is Gehazi? Gehazi is a man who lied in the name of the prophet because of covetousness. And through that, he bought the leprosy of Naaman. Who are the descendants of Gehazi? There are two sides to it. There are the natural people given birth to by Gehazi. But more importantly, are those people who copy the acts of Gehazi. Whether they are Jews or Gentiles makes no difference. Whether they were there or not makes no difference. Anybody till today who will lie in the name of the Lord for his personal gain will get the leprosy of Naaman. It has nothing to do with being born naturally by Gehazi. What makes somebody your ancestor is whether you are doing the same works. That is why we read from Romans chapter 4 that we are of Abraham our father. Why? Because we are of the faith of Abraham. Abraham may not have been a black man like I am. It makes no difference. But if we met today, we will recognize each other in the realm of the spirit. That, oh, there you are, Father Abraham. Why? Because he believed without seeing. I also have believed without seeing. Because of that, I am called a descendant of Abraham. Even though, you know, that's why I laugh at Christians who tell me till today that the Jews are special. I'm sorry to sound like this. You don't know the Bible if you ever utter that word. You don't know the Bible. He said, I have come, Jesus said, to break down the wall of partitioning between Jews and Gentiles. He said, give no offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or the church of God. Once you believe in Christ Jesus, you are neither a Jew nor a Gentile. You are the church of God. And those are the people that are special in the eyes of God. I believe something very strongly, that the major reason why the Arab nations will not be evangelized is not because God does not love the Arab, but because Americans are causing confusion. Why? They preach on the air that God is angry with the Palestinians because they are struggling with the Jews for one piece of desert land. And they say it's God's holy land. Listen to me. If you want to know God's holy land, follow me to where I live. That's where God's holy land is. Where you are standing is the holy land of God. Why? Because you are a descendant of Christ Jesus and your very presence carries the presence of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus die for Osama bin Laden? Answer now. Did Jesus die for Osama bin Laden? Yes, he did. He did. He died for the worst sinners. Let me ask you a question. Who was the greater sinner? Osama bin Laden before he died now? Or Paul before his conversion? I'll tell you, they were the same thing. Yet God saved Paul. And if Osama bin Laden would have cried up to Christ the day before they shot him, and said, have mercy upon him. He will have been accepted. You get to heaven, you see his bia, you will be shocked. You don't know the power of Christ. That blood washes anything. The only people he can't wash are those who have not called upon him. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. God loves the Arab as much as he loves the Jew. The promises of God are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. You know, you know what John the Baptist said? He said, we have Abraham for our father. He said, it's a lie. You are of your father, the devil. And who was he talking to? Jews. Christians, this is they make me laugh.
Jesus looked at them and said, you're of your father the devil. Jesus looked at Jews and said, you are of your father the devil. That if Abraham was really your father, you will love me. He said, but because Abraham is not your father, he said, your father was a murderer, a liar. He said, a murderer from the beginning. Therefore, the deeds of your father you will do. Let me ask you, were they not natural descendants of Abraham? John the Baptist said to them, "Say, yeah, shouting, Abraham is our father." He said, let me tell you, God can raise ordinary stones into children for Abraham. You must do the works of Abraham before you can claim that Abraham is your father. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, let's go back to the other side. Descendants of Gehazi is the same thing. It's not because my natural father is named Gehazi. No. It's, am I doing the works of Gehazi or am I not doing the works of Gehazi? Let me tell you the principle of God saying, I bring forth judgment upon the descendants up to the third and fourth generations. What he was saying is this. In fact, Isaac Newton taught us that, did he not? The law of inertia. Newton's first law of motion. Every object continues where? In a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. What God was saying simply is this. If a man sins in his life and the life of everybody that depends upon him, he sets events in a particular motion. Are you getting my point? That is, if a man sins and he enters into poverty, he sets events in motion, and everybody that follows him, without doing anything about his problems, the events of their lives will follow the poverty that came from the sin of their fathers. However, God now said, but I show mercy to thousands, no matter who their father is, if they love me. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, even though a man started a problem and he had descendants, let me give you an example. If a man is very poor and he has children, the children are poor. True of us. But if they begin to grow and somebody else teaches them the principles of hard work, honesty, and prayer to God, they will become rich. True of us. Let me say it straight. Nobody is held by the sin of his father if he does not continue in the sin of his father. The way I like to illustrate this, you see a lot of the funny clowns who come from Lagos to the village for deliverance. They make me laugh. The man, when he was 28, he got married. He married a young woman and he was struggling. 20 years later, he has become very rich. 48. His wife's probably about 45, 44. They have children. He is rich. But along the line, he decides that he needs a new wife. He hides the wife somewhere else. The Bible says he has dealt treacherously with the wife of his youth. That is his problem. But he does not see any problem with it. It's an African man's thing. You know? So he has married a second wife. That's about 5 years ago. And let me tell you something about the sin of adultery. In fact, according to Jack Hayford, sexual sins are worse than all other kinds of sins. The sin of adultery cripples a man. It brings problems, listen to me, into his life, into his business, into his family. It opens doors for evil spirits. But the man never sees that as a problem. Because all his friends are doing it. So when he can't sleep at night and witches are chasing him in the dream, he wakes up and looks at the wife on the side that this woman, I have been wondering ever she started going for night vigil. Satan has blinded him. There are a lot of false prophets in town, please, I'm begging you. Know it and know it well. It is not everybody who shouts Jesus, Jesus, Jesus that's a church, that's a pastor, a true one. I'm tired of mentioning his name. There's one clown on TV who likes to cast out imaginary demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's not saved. Demons are not existent. All the people there are confused creatures. He's on television. He collects their money. His tithes went to Daniel Amokachi and collected $120,000 from him, cash, by hypnotizing him. There are plenty, they are out there. Be careful. Let me tell you the definition of a false prophet. Anybody who comes to you and points to somebody else as the source of your problems is a liar. I don't care the anointing he carries. Because if indeed you are a Christian
and your life is pleasing to God, there's no enemy that can do anything against you. Even if they are present, God never reckons them as a problem. Was Balak real? Yes. Was Balaam real? Yes. But when they tried to cast a spell upon the people of Israel, did they succeed? No. Balaam himself said it's not possible. So when you are talking about enemies, which is, ask yourself, now let me stay here. How did they have power over me? Go and see the song that God taught Moses, all right, to write for the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And at the end of his life, he told them something. He said, how can one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000 except that their Lord gave them up? That is, if God did not put a curse upon Israel, nobody can handle them. So if your witches are handling you, you have a problem. If your enemies are selling you successfully, you have a problem. You don't need to go to any village for deliverance. Those deliverances are unnecessary. It's a waste of your time. It's only designed to give money to the man who claims he's delivering you. That is a matter of fact. There are plenty in Lagos now. They give prescription. This is your problem. It needs 5 men to go to the mountain for 5 days. It's free. We don't charge. It's just money for breaking or fast. For 5 men, 5 days, it's just 100,000. There are no 5 men, 5 days going to pray for anybody. They are there in their house eating your money. Who's a false prophet, I'd like to say? Is a man who points to somebody else as your trouble. And listen to me, I don't care that you say there were 3 of them, they are familiar spirits. They link with each other. The devil only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's there machinating how to destroy the lives of people. Listen to me, in Christ Jesus, every believer has been delivered. If anybody comes, sees a nonsense vision for you, wait, listen to the vision first. Once he says that it is this man, just tell him you are a liar. These are your enemies telling you are a liar. That in Christ Jesus, I don't see enemies. I only see victory. A true prophet, go and read the whole of the story of Israel. True prophets will point to the prophet, to the people and say, you have sinned. This is the cause of your problem. Like the man I was telling you about figuratively, that man, a true prophet, will look at him and say, oh God, you are dealing treacherously with the wife of thy youth. Say, the witch is not in the village. It's in the flat you rented in Surulere, where you hid her, so where your wife does not know. The real witch is not in the village. It's with you in your office. It is that young woman you call into a corner once in a while when nobody's looking. That's the real witch. She may not know she's a witch, because many people are serving Satan, don't know they are serving somebody's agenda. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. This is the point I'm making all of these things. Listen, there is no curse upon your great-grandfather that can be upon you if you depart from the works of your great-grandfather. People say if your great-grandfather was a slave trader, I ask the person, have I sold any slave to you? Why don't I go and wake my great-grandfather from his grave to come and return the slaves he sold? And in case you do not know, spiritual things have control over the things that are natural. And I can tell you that my spiritual father, his name is not the one you are thinking of. His name is Abraham. Concerning Jesus was spoken, I and the children that the Lord have given me, all right, the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. What am I saying? I am a descendant of the Lord Jesus Christ. As people hang around, generational curses, arrant nonsense. I'm not saying they don't exist, they do exist, I know, but in the life of a Christian, arrant nonsense. A man came to town recently. I told you, please, you know, I'm sorry I have to speak like that, so I'm not mentioning names. His job, his assignment was to raise money. And what did he start doing? Today you are going to give an offering for the sins of 3 generations. Yes. I know I'm seeing him in my mind's eye now. I know people were present. In fact, I went one of the days. I don't want to tell the name of the church in town here, a big church in town here. 7 days he was there. All he was doing was raising money.
And when we pastors have been called to raise money, we concoct all kinds of things. That's why Paul said, who said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and handling the word of God deceitfully. We do it, a lot of preachers. He said, give an offering for the sins of, that you will give three offerings for the sins of three generations. For the sins of your father, you will give an offering. For the sin of your great grandfather, you will give an offering. For the sin of your grandfather, you give an offering. That it might break, he said, the power in the offering. It's a sacrifice. We lie a lot with Pentecostal preachers these days. The sacrifice is blood, it's not money. I hope you understand that. True sacrifice is the shedding of blood. And the most expensive sacrifice has been made for me, and is the blood of Jesus. Any sin of my ancestors that the blood of Jesus cannot handle, let it remain unhandled. As I hear all kinds of lies, they say, if you sacrifice a goat against me, I will sacrifice a Mercedes Benz as an offering to God. I say, you must be spiritually ignorant. Otherwise, you'll have known that the blood of an earthworm is more powerful than a whole building. Because it's a matter of what? Blood. Mercedes Benz only has petrol and engine oil. It does not have blood. So if you like, can you go and bury a Mercedes Benz? It's nothing. If a man is, if they sacrifice goat against you, you go to church and put down an offering. How much is goat? 20,000. You go and put an offering of 50,000. It's a council. I said, you are talking nonsense. You don't know spiritual things, and you call yourself a preacher. The fact is that if they sacrifice blood against you, the only thing that can cancel it is blood. And the blood that has canceled all the sacrifices against you is the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for everyone who will draw near to God the Father by him. The Bible says he can save to the uttermost. He can save. He can. Let nobody deceive you that the problems in your life is because your great-grandfather sinned. In the life of a Christian, are nonsense. Say, my great-grandfather did not sin. He pleased God. The Bible says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, he pleased God from the beginning to the end. What are you talking about? Except I don't believe in him. Let me go back to that. Except I start walking in the sins of the fathers. That's why I say to Christians all the time, be careful. Be careful. When you start making camps with your village people, be careful. When you start joining and going for sacrifices that are not Christian, be careful. You are opening doors for evil spirits. If you identify too much with that village of yours, they will give you their familiar spirits. They will give you their curses. Be careful. You must be a light amongst them everywhere you go. Be careful. You don't bow into shrines that you're not supposed to go as a Christian. As a Christian, be careful. You don't offer sacrifices you are not supposed to offer. Be careful. You don't pour libation to dead ancestors. Be careful. Christians don't do that. When you do such things, you open doors for the devil. That's where they jump in through. And like I say to people all the time, you don't make decisions according to the customs of those villages. You don't. They will tell you that a woman cannot sit down when a man is standing. The Bible says it's not true that we treat our wives as the weaker sex. If there's only one seat, I give it to my wife. Somebody cracked a joke once. He looked at my wife. Her phone was very beautiful. He looked at my phone. He said, Mama, how come I've noticed that you're always using phones that are very fine? And Pastor knew they get fine phone. And she laughed and said, he always buys me a new phone and takes the old one. Yes. It's scriptural. I treat her with what? Honor. They don't tell you, don't sit and say, no, a woman cannot eat meat when a man has not eaten meat. It's not nonsense. Yes. Listen, it's those customs of the villages that allows the grapes that great-grandfathers ate to be affecting your teeth today. If only you will brush your mouth and spit out, brush it with the blood of Jesus, and you eat the word of God, the bread of life, you will discover there's only pleasure and sweetness that your teeth will feel. Are you getting the point I'm making?
Listen, in Christianity, we are redeemed, though. There's no Jew anywhere that's superior to you in the eye of God, though. I see it all. That's one of the reasons why I hate watching a lot of things they call Christian television. Man says, look, I'm carrying your prayer to the bank of River Jordan to go and pray over it. I said, so what? If you go to Oji River, God will still hear it from there. Yes? And can adventure, you would need a river, you don't want to travel far. Just wait. There's one water that flows beside my house anytime it rains. Pray there. God will still hear you. But most importantly, why do you need a river? Out of your belly is flowing what? Rivers of living water. Hey, why are you going to River Jordan for? River Jordan is dead water. All the sins that John the Baptist baptized is inside River Jordan. People can actually bring it in bottle and give to confuse people. So I'm carrying your prayer points to God's own land. You want to carry my prayer point to God's own land? When God told me that before you cry, I will answer. I don't need to write my prayer point on a piece of paper for you to carry anywhere. If two of you shall agree as touching anything, even if you're inside a dungeon, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, whatever you shall ask, if you shall ask without doubting, it shall be given to you. I don't need you to carry my prayer anywhere. I'm sorry to say it. It's all the gimmicks we preachers used to collect money. Because if I told you I was praying in my room, you won't send an offering. If I tell you it's going to cost me money to take it to Jerusalem, you say, okay, let's subsidize pastor's trip. Ignorance. That's the major thing we suffer from as Christians. It's not the sins of our fathers. Are you getting my point? It's not the sins of what? Our fathers. We only suffer from the sins of the fathers. Like I said earlier, the sin of the descendants of Gehazi are not the natural people giving birth to by the wife of Gehazi, but by everyone who does the work of Gehazi. Disgrace is upon everyone who will lie in the name of the Lord. It's called the leprosy of Naaman. It will be upon them. But if you renounce the works of the fathers, and you start making, you start taking pride in things that God said they are cursed. I like to say this to us Africans. If you must do New Yam Festival, collect your yam and give it to the elders of your church. Don't go for the festival, the one that's in the village. Travel when they start. They won't make you a chief. That's their personal problem. You do not need their chieftaincy title. They won't come for your daughter's wedding. Eh? Don't worry. When she becomes a minister, they will go there. Carry the wedding to church. Are you getting my point? They are contributing money so that one can make a sacrifice they make annually in the village. Don't contribute money. And don't hide. Tell them it is because I'm a Christian. If you are hungry, I will feed you. Easter period, kill a cow. Say, everybody, come and feast. I'm celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if I'm at your house, angry is his personal problem. I see that on the home video. Does it really exist? I'm mad at her. If his aunt says you want to appease him, is your tell Amadiha if he comes near my house, I will behead him. I'm telling the truth. Say witches are angry. Any witch that is angry, jump over my fence. You will die, your friends will die, anybody your coven will die. I'm not offering sacrifices to any devil. People say, you know it's wisdom. Why cause confusion? Jesus came to cause confusion. He said, you think I brought peace? I brought a sword. I'm going to divide a man from his father. I divide a daughter-in-law from the mother-in-law. Anyone who will obey me is my friend. Anyone who will disobey me is their enemy. Listen, it's all those who put our hands into. That's why we have problems. It's not the sins of the ancestors. It is not. It is not. It is not. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything has become what? New. And he said, all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself. And so abundantly did he do that, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, not only have I delivered you, I've given you the assignment to go and testify of your deliverance to other people. Don't let anybody scare you. You are a redeemed child of God. Did I hear an amen? Amen? If you have any problem in life, you kneel down and pray to God. I like the way Elihu said. He said, they cry because of the arm of the mighty. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? Don't let anybody pray upon your soul. Jesus has paid for all your sins. And not only your sins, for the sins of the ancestors. That's why, listen to me, no, the white man is not superior to the black man anymore. The light of God that's shining in us is bringing forth... Oh, you must understand this. The light of God that's shining in us is bringing forth the life of God in us. We transform nations, transform our societies, and make our country as sweet and as beautiful as anyone in the world. The curse that kept the black man there has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. Let me end with this short story. A friend of mine told me something once, that there was an evil spirit that used to follow him around. I'm not going to give you details of the story. A spirit of death. The day he gave his life to Christ, the thing left him alone. I won't tell you more than that. Anybody that witches chase, give your life to Christ. This morning I was driving my daughter to my children to church, to school. And my daughter said something to me. Said that, Daddy, I don't know. I feel like crying. I put up the message I was listening to. I said, see after me. I am a child of God. It's a 5-year-old girl. Say, I'm a child of God. I said, I have been born again in Christ Jesus. I led her through a lot of Christian confessions. I said, say, I have the spirit of joy. I have the spirit of happiness. I do not have the spirit of mourning. I have the spirit. She was repeating everything. I said, now laugh to show the devil that you are serious. And then she laughed, and everybody started laughing in the car. I said, very good. That's how Christians behave. When Satan wants to attack, we return. We know they run. No? He said, witches are after you. I said, me too, I'm after them. When a prophet tells you, Oga, witches are after you, or madam, witches are after you, say, tell them, when should we meet? Ask them for me. I'm after them also. Let's see who has the power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The witch that can survive, come out. Don't come out to pray at night. Come out to challenge and say, okay, witches, so I hear you, they fly for night. Here it is night now. Fly now, here I am. Any witch that flies by mistake will die. He said, hey, people are after me. He said, I'm after them also. Have you not heard? Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. You know what gates mean? Gate is trying to prevent the church from advancing. And Jesus is saying that the church is advancing so seriously, the gates will come crashing down. So tell when they say they're after, they say, hey, they can't be after me. I'm the one after them. Ah, how can they be after me? I am the one after them. I am the troublemaker. I am the son of God. I am the warrior of Christ Jesus. I am the one that's executing the judgment that is written. They can't be after me. That's what we are as believers. How have you got to my point? Any prophet calls you again, call him back. Next time you call this house, trouble will enter into your home. Tell him like that. Say, how do you know? Say, Pastor Banky said it. That you're a false prophet. All you want is my money. He won't call you again. And if he calls you again, watch it. He will soon fall down and break a leg. Tell him I said so. Let us pray. Can we just give the Lord thanks? Say, Father, I thank you because indeed you have delivered me. Thank him. Say, Lord, I have been set free from the sin of the ancestors. I have been set free from the curse upon the generations before now. Say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. You shed that blood. I'm free. I am free. I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Say it loud. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. Say it loud. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Shout it like you believe it. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, I'm above principalities and powers. I'm above every force of darkness. I'm above every curse of the ancestors. I have been blessed with a blessing. I have been blessed with a blessing. I have been blessed with a blessing.
that Jesus died that I might be blessed. Say, Father, I thank you for it. And for adventure, you are there. You have not given your life to Christ. That's the only problem you have. You are living your life. You are not living for God. That is the only problem that you have. This is a good time to say, Lord, I accept you. Jesus, come into my life. Wash me away from all my sins. And if you're a Christian, please quickly, let me just point that one in. Don't harbor sin in your heart. Stop taking money that does not belong to you. With the excuse that the economy is difficult. Stop. Stop looking at the woman that's not your wife. It is wrong. If a man is giving you unnecessary attention and you are married, tell him. Don't enjoy the gift he gives you. It's utter nonsense. That's how Satan opens doors into people's lives. We walk in integrity, we walk in righteousness, and Satan is dead as far as you are concerned.